Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. Come on, who loves Jesus? Come on, are you thankful to be in church? I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful to be here. Anybody thankful? Anybody full of praise? If anybody asks you what church you go to, and sometimes church gets dubbed certain things, and that's fine. It's a non-denominational Christian church. It's loud. It's this. It's that. I just want to just tell them it's a Book of Psalms church. It's in the Psalms. Shoutings in the Book of Psalms. Clapping, a loud roar of praise that sounds like many waters. And it's okay. Don't feel. It's just church around the globe is getting louder and louder. There's even a song from Elevation Church called I Think Get Loud. And sometimes some weird stigmas become church culture. People talk about things. What kind of church? You're a Grace Church? Oh, you're a Grace Church. What other kind of church is there to be? It's called the Gospel of Grace. We're a faith church because it's in the Bible. And so sometimes things need to be redefined, but sometimes they just need to be defined because culture and broken people, which we all are, talk and we define things, and so we go back to the Word of God. Any Bible people? Yes. Come on, where's my Bible people? Are you thankful for the Word of God? Are you thankful for truth? Are you thankful that there's one way? That can sound close-minded, but it's actually grace. It actually makes sense. Can you imagine if, you know, I just said, hey, come over to my house, and any key will work. Just come on in. You're fine. Doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It's actually wonderful that there's clarity and that there's direction and that there's truth. And oftentimes it's only at war with our flesh. And so sometimes it's not you, it's just me. And I'm insecure and I'm full of fear and I'm trying to reach people. And we're all trying to reach people. And it's not easy. It's really not trying to bring truth into the carnality of the human experience. And so God, I believe, will cause a generation to rediscover the gospel. Every generation needs to rediscover, not religion, but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Every generation rediscovers the Word of God and the theology and the revelation within the Scriptures that reveals Jesus. And so every generation falls back in love with Jesus. And then we go through religious cycles and we fall back in love with Jesus. Then we fall in love with ourselves and then we fall back in love with Jesus. And so that is a revival, is a waking up of our spirit to the Word of God. Amen? We are all subject to the flesh because we got it on us. We're clothed in this flesh until the other side. Now, there's grace and there's hope that we are becoming more and more like Jesus. Anybody becoming more and more like Jesus? Shout a big amen. Amen. But we will not be like him until we fully see him as he is. 1 John. Amen. And so there we go. There we go. We will be like him in eternity. And yet we are walking this walk of faith. And this church started in our house about 11 years ago, 10 years fully as a church, I guess. 11 years, we had just gotten back from Australia and called up a few people and said, hey, let's start a church. And we went right into it, and just 10 people and a dog. And we started in our house, and we went to a few buildings, and we found ourselves here. And in many ways, this church is a miracle. 94% of all church plants fail. They have the equivalency rate of a restaurant. So I would just encourage all entrepreneurs, do not start a restaurant and do not start a church. Amen. I mean, unless you have a word and unless you're willing to die for it. And so don't have this mindset. You're going to start a restaurant and then delegate it. That's a bad idea. No, you got to die for it. Whatever you're not willing to die for will probably die. And so you might have a false image of something that needs to be delegated. And so we get angry at people not coming along. I'm just way off here. Anyways, so here we are. This church is a miracle, but in many ways, we're just getting started. We believe. I remember during COVID, I was like, God, call me to Tennessee. Lord, call me to a state that defends the gospel. Call me to a place that lifts up your name. And not that this place doesn't lift up your name, but it was dark during COVID. Amen. And it was lonely. And yet, God, I mean, I love this place. I love this home. And it's funny, as we traveled and said hi to pastors during that season, man, every time we came back, we're like, this is our home. And this is also our mission field. And that's what's difficult, is when God calls you to a place called home, and yet there's some work to be done. And you guys are seeds. We are seeds of what God has planted in this city. Amen. And so in this season, we are simply taking seed. Many things are seeds. Money is seed. Time is seed. I want to talk about that today. Your day is a seed. Your praise is a seed. Isn't that interesting that David said, come into the house of God and don't just seek the Lord? He didn't just say, come to church and pray. He said, come into the gates with thanksgiving, into the courts with praise. Because when you praise God, you can only pray. That's why I think church ought to be loud. That's why I think church ought to have a little bit of faith and a little bit of noise and a little bit of dancing. Why? Because it's only those people I really believe that understand who He is. Everyone else is waiting for God to do something, and He will do something. But what He does is based on who He is, and who He is never changes. Whether I get healed or not, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when a church wakes up and has revival and comes into the courts and gates of thanksgiving and courts with praise, those are people who say, Lord, we know who you are. And those are people who understand seed. Before you do anything else today in my life, I will recognize you for the harvest of salvation and the harvest of health and the harvest of life that you already given to me. Oh, is anybody saved in this place? Has anybody ever received the goodness of God in this place? That's all this is his praise. You're thanking him for being here. You're thanking him for being alive. You're thanking him that you didn't get in that car wreck. You're thanking him that you're not in prison. You're thanking him. I'm not a hype man. I'm just a Jesus-loving sinner saved by grace out here on the mission field of Camas, Washougal, Vancouver, Portland, and we are building, and he's in charge. Church is imperfect because you're in it, and I'm in it, and we're in it. Oh, it's easy to blame. That's what Adam and Eve did. Blame is built into sin. What's going on? Them! Isaac, why don't you preach better? The church! And so what we do is we get rooted in Christ, and we become a prophetic seed into someone's life. You're a gift. Your gift is a seed. Your time and money is a seed. It is. And so I'm asking you to plant next week. We're planting into our future. We're believing to raise just millions of dollars. Just millions of dollars. Takes faith to even. Yeah. I wrestled. Is this time? And I just felt from God, the time is now. The time is now. Take the church. I believe we're in a season of choosing. God has brought you into certain seasons by his grace. I'll say it this way. We'll get to it in scripture. God has brought you out of your Egypt by grace. You didn't even really do it. You just kind of got caught up in that long line, taking gold from the Egyptians. This looks good. And you got into the Red Sea, and you got to their side, and you're like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Now it's your choice to decide whether you want to go to the promised land or whether you want to wander in your wilderness. God has given you everything you need. And so whether you possess or you wander is based on whether you choose faith or fear. All right, that's the appetizer. You ready? That's just a little Brussels sprouts. That was just a little popcorn shrimp. That was just a little coconut shrimp. That was a little steamer clams. Any other appetizers? What other appetizers? Wedge salad. Who loves a wedge salad? I feel you. I love a good wedge. I love a good wedge. Amen. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Word of God. We're on a series called Jesus for Today. And we're starting this series by looking at mustard seed faith. Amen. Mustard seed faith. Days are seeds. Money are seeds. Time are seeds. I'm a seed. I came from a seed. You came from a seed. That's a whole other message. We'll save it for later. But we are all. Jesus was a seed. Do you realize that Adam wasn't a seed? Another message. Another message. I shouldn't say things that are confusing. He was created. He didn't have a mom and dad. Jesus did. Jesus identified with us more than we can with Adam. That's how awesome our God is. He came as a seed of the woman, and he crushed Satan. So everything is seed. Now, you and I, we want microwave, and we want air fryer, and we want Amazon. And I remember when people would preach that, be like, that's so silly. That, you know, 1990s wants its youth pastor message back. I understand that. But the truth of it is we're all caught up in instant. We think things are instant. And though there be a passage of time, and maybe not even that much time, we always will believe that God is late. Let's talk to Lazarus. Talk to Jesus' disciples. They thought it was over. They went back fishing, and Jesus had to call them back. God is a God of seed. I'm a grace preacher. I'm a prophetic preacher. I'm a positive preacher. But every once in a while, I just feel a little. So here we go. So I want to impart the word of God this morning. and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Anybody bound by something? Just me and Johnny? Okay. A few people. Everyone else is free. Free as a bird. Someone else has locked me up in prison. No. No. You might find yourself in some sort of prison. And may the truth and the light and the bread of his word feed us and open our eyes that we might be able to walk in his word. Amen. Oh, I feel good about the service. This is good. Don't live by your feelings, Pastor. I know. I mean, feel in the way of faith. All right, Matthew chapter 17, verse. I'm just having conversations with myself. Is he okay? I'm fine. All right, Matthew chapter 17. Guys, what a season. So good. We're going to take up an offering next week, and that's going to be our seed, and we're going to believe God. You know, people ask me that live out here, hey, how far are we going? I don't know. I'm Abraham. I'm going, and he's showing. We cannot control the buildings and whether we build or whether we remodel. If you ask me, just you, between you, me, and the angels and a few squirrels, I'd probably tell you I love a good remodel. I love building is difficult, but we will do it. He's got some land for us, that's fine. We're just gathering up some money to say, Jesus, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, Father God is a father of God of, okay. Sometimes I get Father and Jesus. Listen, I'm a New Testament preacher here. So, but God is the God of Abraham, Isaac. God is a God of generations. God is a God of legacy. God cares about your kids. God cares about what we build here, that the fruit remains. We're not blowing in and blowing out and then giving the next generation the baton and say, well, good luck. We started in our house. You can start in yours. No, we hope to hand Abraham's. I'm an Abraham. I hope to plan to hand the next generation more than what I got so that it can reach the schools and they can start the programs and they can have a place where families can come in the Pacific Northwest and receive their immediate need. Oftentimes, God, Jesus, touched the immediate needs of people before he hit their greater need. Amen? So as a church, we want to bind up the wounds and also preach the gospel. So we want a place and a home that we can have as ours so that we can reach people and not get kicked out after release. Amen? All right. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. Take a deep breath. And when they had come to the multitude, this is after the transfiguration. I want you to know, I'm having a hard time starting that in this message. Because, you know, this is a real moment. Not like the moment you see on Instagram always. That it represents a real moment, maybe. We're so image caught. We're so caught up in the images of things. I want to preach on that soon. But we forget that in this moment, this is the most important moment in your life. It's all you have. Is that the Word of God has so much power that if you just give yourself to it, the Word of God could actually, beyond how awesome you are or how awesome you're not, and all your planning and your programs that you're about to get to and all the things you're about to change, okay, awesome, wonderful, and they're probably from God or the devil, but the Holy Spirit will figure it out. The Word of God has the power to do something powerful in your life. Open up your heart. So when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic. That's a big deal. And he suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. And so I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, it's okay, church, you're doing great. Keep trying. No. He said, oh, faithless and perverse church, activate. What, Lord? Oh, faithless and perverse generation, we talked about that. Faithless is disloyal to the word of God and loyal to the flesh, and perverse is not using something for its original intent. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus, this is interesting that Jesus really expected us to do something about it. Yeah. So even sometimes when we blame God, we're like, well, I don't know. I brought him to church. Well, I don't know. I prayed for him. And God's like, yeah, but you represent me. I want you to take that person to the finish line. I want you to break that demonic power over the life. I expect you to be my hands and feet. I expect you to have the authority. I gave you my name. So you don't walk around with your ID in the spirit. You walk around with the Jesus authority. So when you go up against powers and you go up against sickness, you're flashing the license What is that? The license. Yeah, the license. Yeah, the license. The badge, the authority of Jesus, the credentials of Jesus. And so he says, bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and they said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Because of my unbelief. God wants to heal unbelief. God wants to heal what we've seen that is in contrast to what he says in his word. We're coming back to the word of God. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, because it's all about you, Jesus, and it's all about you. Oh, I just lost everybody on that one. All right, sorry.